This is the year of maximum kingdom manifestation. We are talking about the glory of God being manifested in our lives, the power of God being manifested in our lives. And I believe in order for us to experience that, there's just some keys I want to share with you this morning, about the next 30 minutes or so. And some of these passages of scripture are familiar for you, but it's the thought that I need you to get this morning. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So let's bring about the time today and our teaching on the process, which we are still in. I felt like the Lord said to not get overly focused on the process, lest you miss the moment that you're in. And so there's some things that I felt important to share in hopes of helping us while we're walking through the process. This walk is a walk of faith. There are variable unknowns in walking in faith. How many know there's just variable unknowns in life, period? Okay. But many, many times when we're walking and endeavoring to walk in faith, we can find ourselves in seasons where it's not really making sense. And most everybody at some point or another would like it to make sense. I'm not saying that the walk of faith is just one where you never know. I believe that there's signs that we have from time to time to help us to know the season that we find ourselves in. So the first thought I want to just introduce is this. Don't ignore the signs of change and transition. Now I'm talking about keys to maximum kingdom manifestation. Don't ignore the signs of change and transition. Shift and move in God's timing. Don't ignore the signs of change and transition. We are creatures of habit most often. We can get comfortable, and sometimes we just decide this is good. We're going to just stick this out. We're going to stay right here. But what if God has purposed to do something different, and he's giving you signs to let you know I'm going to do something different? So it's in 1 Kings 17 where we see this with Elijah. 1 Kings 17, we know the story of Elijah the Tishbite, but I want to read the scriptures so that I know you read the scriptures or heard the scriptures while we were together. Was that good?
That's good.
Okay. That was kind of rhetorical, but. Now Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the settlers of Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, surely there shall neither be dew nor rain these days except by my word." Now, how many of you know that's walking in some power and authority right there?
Yes.
My God, he's saying it ain't going to rain until I say it's going to rain.
That's right. That's right.
Maximum kingdom manifestation. It's like when Joshua prayed for the sun and moon to stand still. Basically, what happened is the earth stopped. You do understand that?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's like, and it stayed there until they finished the battle. See, God knows what you really mean when you pray, even if you say it the wrong way. Even if you don't say it with the right, knowledge of what it is you're really asking. He knows what you mean, and that's what you see there. It goes on and says here in 1 Kings 17, it says, "And the word of the Lord came to him, saying, go away from here." Now, I want you to notice that he gives the word that it's not going to rain, and then God says, "Now, this is where I need you to go so I can take care of you. Go away from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith, which is east of Jordan. And it shall be that you shall drink of the brook, for I have commanded the ravens to provide for you there." Now, I want you to notice that some movement is required. Don't ignore the signs of change and transition. Shift and move in God's timing. God gives him a word. He says, I'm going to take care of you. I have commanded the ravens to provide for you where?
There.
If we're going to experience maximum kingdom manifestation, we can't ignore the signs of change, and we have to be able to shift in God's timing when he says to move, when to shift. Some of you are right in that space right now when God says we're shifting right now. We're shifting right now. Some things we haven't experienced because we didn't shift in the timing. We didn't move in the timing. Can you say, God, give me another chance? Can we do it one more time? I promise you, I'll move this time. I promise you, I'll shift this time. Now thank the Lord right now, because I didn't say that just to put it in the atmosphere. I'm speaking some things that some of you need to say, and I'm guaranteeing you right now that God's hearing your words, and he will respond to what you just said. Come on, thank him right now. Anybody here saying, God, if you just give me one more do-over in that area, if you give me one more do-over in that area, I'll get it right this time. I missed it last time. It came and went, but I know you can bring it back around again, and if you do, I won't miss it. I'll get out in front of it. He says, go to the brook Cherith, because there I've commanded the ravens. So you see, his telling him to go there was his act of faith. Now I need you to, I'm sending you somewhere. When you get there, provision's going to be there for you. He's talking about birds, y'all. Birds seemingly fly anywhere and everywhere they want to fly. But God being God, speak to the ravens. I need y'all to get to Cherith. I need you to get to the brook, Cherith. Because I'm sending the man of God there. And you're going to take care of him while he's there. So you see that, and he says, and he lived by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening. How many of you know that's some great room service? And he would drink from the brook. But then it says this, and it happened. When you see it says, and it happened, it means that there's something that preceded it that caused it to happen. It says, and it happened that after a while, say after a while, that the brook dried up. Why did the brook dry up, y'all? Because there was no rain. There was no water. Why was there no rain? Because the prophet said there's not going to be any rain. Sometimes we're quick to prophesy. We're quick to proclaim a word, not recognizing you're going to be impacted by it too. You're going to have to live it out too. Now, what I love about God and God's love for his people is that he always will take care of us, even in the midst of famine. Even in the midst of famine. He's going to provide for his people. Don't get stuck on what the government is doing. God's going to always see that you're taken care of. If you will stay with him and believe right there in that place. But it may mean that you can't ignore the signs of change and transition. You got to be ready to shift and move in God's timing. And so, the brook dried up. Then he gives him a word again, which means he's got to move again. And that word that comes to him says, now go to Zarephath, because there, say there, I've commanded a widow woman there to provide for you. I love the context of this because, and I've shared this before, there are seasons when God is moving in your life for you, and then there's other seasons. Let me say it differently. No, he's never just moving in your life for just you. If you and I can see the bigger picture, he's always doing something beyond us. See, I think it's kind of very self-centered to think that it's all about you. It's all about me. when it's really about us and it's about the world that we live in. So oftentimes God is moving and he's shifting, just like here. The brook dries up and then he says, okay, I need you to get to Zarephath because there I've commanded a widow woman to provide for you. Now I'm talking about don't ignore the signs of change and transition, shift and move in God's timing, because now the first move had to do with Elijah, but the second move had to do with the woman and her son. See, Elijah was good. He was going to be good. But here's a woman who lacked in faith, assuming that we're going to eat one more meal and then we're going to die. She's pronouncing that. She's speaking that over herself and over her son. But Elijah comes, a man of faith, man of power, a man of authority, who God has already taken care of. And he, in that moment, pulls her into his world. Now, when we talk about maximum kingdom manifestation, I want to tell you something. You're going to have opportunity even this year to help some people come into your world, come into your faith, rather than hear them and simply say, I'm going to pray for you, which is a good thing. But you're going to have opportunity to pull them in, bring them into your world. Because Elijah, what he does is, he hears what she says, but he doesn't respond to what she says. I love that about the Lord. We see that in the scriptures as well. Jesus is speaking to blind Bartimaeus. What's going on? I have nobody to put me in the water. Jesus didn't say, oh, that's a shame. God bless you. I hope someone comes and gets you there first. He ignores that. Do you want to be healed? There will be times, there will be moments in this season of maximum kingdom manifestation when you will have the opportunity to speak to a situation, but God will speak to you and say, you're not here to speak to that situation. This is beyond that situation. And what the prophet does is, he says to the woman, just go make a cake for me first. And you know, first he asked for something to drink. She said, I can do that. Then he says, well, bring me back some cake too. And she says, I can't do that. I just told you. I only got one for me, you know, just enough for me and my son, and we're going to die. He says, by the word of the Lord, just do what I said. And I'm paraphrasing. And we're all going to be good. Right now, I'm hungry. Get mine, you'll get yours. You see, what she gave wasn't as much giving to Elijah as giving to God. What she did was an act of her faith. You see, she's thinking, I only got so much. Now, this is a great opportunity to speak to you in the area of finances and resources. You will choose to live in your mind in the world of just enough, or you will choose to live in your mind in the world of more than enough. I'm telling you, it is a mindset. It is a mindset. I believe that it is wise to be prudent with our finances and our resources. If they're out of whack, get them back in order. But her mentality was one of lack, while his mentality was one of, I serve the God of all creation. I need you to know, sister, just a few days ago, I was living over by the brook. You know how I ate? The ravens came and fed me morning and night, bread and meat, and every now and then some dessert. I like to kind of add my own interpretation to it. I like desserts, so if it was me, you know, God's, you know, I've commanded the ravens to feed you there, and they will bring you some dessert also. He pulls her into his world in that moment. And you know the rest of the story if you've read that scripture. Well, let me just read it for your hearing. A lot of times I assume you read your Bible. I'm like, read it in your own time. It's like, yeah, right. So So we're going to make sure you at least hear it one time. I didn't look at anybody. He says, I've commanded a widow woman there to provide for you. Verse 10, so he arose and he went to Zarephath and he came to the gate of the city. Wasn't even in the city yet. Behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please give me a little water in a jar that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please, by the way, bring me a piece of bread in your hand. So I want you to see that. He asked for water. She's good with that. She's going to get the water. Hey, by the way, just can you bring me a biscuit as well? Can you bring me a biscuit and some honey? She stops. She said, as the Lord your God lives, I have no bread, only a handful of flour in a bowl and a little oil in a jar. And behold, I am gathering sticks that I may go and prepare for me and my son that we may eat and die. Elijah said to her, do not fear. How many of you know she's operating in fear now? She's not operating in faith. She's operating in fear. You and I don't recognize it, but oftentimes we're operating in fear when we'd like to think we're operating in faith. Fear paralyzes. Fear stops you in your tracks. Faith says, keep going. Faith says, pull yourself up. Get yourself together. Get refocused and keep going. And there are moments for all of us when we have to do that and we need to do that. And so Elijah, here's his response. Do not fear. He's addressing the root. Do not fear. Go, do as I have said, but make me a little bread cake from it first and bring it to me. And afterwards, you may make one for yourself and for your son. I love that. He's not addressing what she said. I got just enough to make one for me and my son. Are we going to die? He says, don't be afraid. This is where he pulls her in. You go make one for me. Bring it to me. Then make one for you and your son. Now, how many of you, let's be honest, how many of you would have kind of resisted that for just a minute? Come on, in the natural. Sir, I don't think you heard what I said. Now we're laughing, but sometimes that's our posture with God. Lord, I don't think you heard what I said. My gas bill is due on Friday. My rent is due. I'm not making light of these things because I've lived them out myself. We've lived them out. Need to go down and make arrangements to pay the gas bill. Late fees. But he says to her, go make one for me first. Say first. I just need to pause right there for a moment. He says, make one for me first. He doesn't say, well, go and make, and if you have any left, still bring me one. Because what he's doing is he's pulling her into a place of his faith at the same time, unbeknownst to her, putting God first. Why? Because she is fulfilling the word that God gave the prophet concerning himself. She doesn't know it yet. She's the fulfillment of the word that God gave to the man of God. I'm going to take care of you, but I need you to get to the brook chair because there's a widow woman that's going to take care of you. She is a part of God's plan and fulfillment and doesn't even know it. But because she was obedient, say obedient. Thank you, Lord. Because she was obedient, the prophet goes on and says, "For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bowl of flour shall not be exhausted, nor shall the jar of oil be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain on the face of the earth. And by the way, it will be by my mouth." Now, he didn't say that, but that's the reality. Until the day he tells me to open my mouth and say, "Rain, come." She doesn't realize she's in the best company that she could be in. You're in the best company you could be in God. So she went and did according to the word of Elijah, and she came, and he and her household ate for Come on, say that again. Y'all see it up there? What's it say?
Many days.
Many days. Don't even tell you how many days, just many days. It says, the bowl of flour was not exhausted, nor did the jar of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke through Elijah. My God. Don't ignore the signs of change and transition. Shift and move in God's timing. You see, in this year of maximum kingdom manifestation, it's going to have to do with timing. Yes. Making the move, making the shift, being in that new place, that different place at just the right time for God to manifest maximum glory. Yes. Maximum glory. Second thought I want to share with you, we're talking about keys to maximum kingdom manifestation. The second one is this. It's okay to reason, but not to the point of resisting the will of God. It's okay to reason, but not to the point of resisting the will of God. I'm going to Acts chapter 10 now. God wants us to be a people of understanding. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who will give liberally. The scriptures make it clear that he reveals to us the mysteries.
That's right.
Then there are times, and I believe particularly in a season of this time of maximum kingdom manifestation, that we will find ourselves being presented with things that cause us to reason, that cause us to go, But in the reasoning, you don't want to move to a place of resisting it because it doesn't line up with something you've known. How many of you know that our God is a revelatory God? He's a God of revelation. And so he is yet revealing. He is yet bringing new things to you and I. And so we have to walk in a way that as information comes to us, as opportunity comes to us, that we don't allow ourselves to reason it to the point or reason it out of becoming a reality. And when I say the reasoning, and the scriptures speak of us having the right to do that. Matter of fact, it's in the book of thank you, Lord. Again, I tend to just maybe quote it thinking you've read it or going to read it. The book of Isaiah, chapter 1, verse 18 says, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord." Any of you ever found yourself reasoning with God? I mean, you're just having a conversation with it. You're reasoning with it. You know, Father, I don't understand. I don't understand this. I don't understand that brother. I don't understand that sister. I don't understand the church. I'm reasoning. What are we doing? Where are we going? Will we ever get there? He says, settle down. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. I love this. Though your sins be as scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they be like crimson, they shall be wool. If you consent and obey, you will eat the best of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured. If you consent and obey, but if you refuse and rebel, you do understand the opposite of obedience is not disobedience. It's rebellion. That's what it says right there. I just thought I'd throw that out there as well. So it's okay to reason, but not to the point of resisting the will of God, because going back to the first point I said, don't ignore the signs of change and transition, shift and move in God's timing. So it's here in Acts chapter 10 concerning Cornelius's house. It says this, verse 1, now there was a certain man at Cornelius, Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion who was called the Italian cohort, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household and gave many alms to the Jewish people and prayed to God continually. And it says this, at about the ninth hour of the day, he clearly saw in a vision an angel of God who had just come in to him and said to him, Cornelius, and he fixed his gaze upon him and being much alarmed, he said, what is it, Lord? And he said, your prayers and alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And now dispatch some men to Joppa and send for a man named Simon, who was called Peter. Tells him exactly where he's at. He's staying with a certain tanner named Simon, whose house is by the sea. And when the angel who was speaking to him had departed, he summoned two of his servants, a devout soldier of those who were in constant attendance upon him. And after he had explained everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. On the next day, as they were on their way, say on their way. See, this is one of the reasons why you want to reason, but you don't want to reason to the point of resisting the will of God, because you may miss the will of God. What Peter is not recognizing is that he is about to be used by God further, because remember how when Jesus said, who do men say that I am? And different disciples said different things. Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. He says, from now on, your name is going to be Peter. And upon this rock, I will build my church and I will give you the keys of the kingdom. Peter had that incredible role of ushering in the church. Now, on the day of Pentecost, who is it that stood up and gave the first message? It was Peter. Then there's the Gentiles. Peter now is given the opportunity, but what it's going to mean is a shift in how he has thought and lived up to this point. In talking about maximum kingdom manifestation, you may need to shift how you have thought and how you have lived up to this point. And God will make that clear to you. And you want to reason with it, think about it, but not to the point of resisting it, where you just put your foot down and say, I don't believe it. See, Peter is wrestling with tradition, Jewish tradition. Peter was the one that had issues with just about everybody, with the disciples. If you ever watch the series The Chosen, and you see how Peter is portrayed, it's so interesting, because he was just a guy that just He was very unforgiving until his life was transformed. So it says on that day as they were approaching, Peter went up to the housetop on the sixth hour to pray, and he became hungry and desiring to eat. But while they were making preparations, he fell into a trance. And he beheld the sky opened up, and certain objects like a great sheet coming open, lowered by the four corners to the ground. And there were all kinds of four-footed animals and crawling creatures of the earth and the birds of the air. And a voice came to him and, "Arise, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything unholy and unclean." And again a voice came to him a second time, "What God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy." And it happened three times. Say three times. So you have to know this. Three times is your limit in reasoning. Okay? After that, you're just resisting. But all the while that Peter is reasoning, resisting, God's plan is still in motion. God doesn't wait until Peter accepts the dream to then send the men. The men are on their way right now. In this year of maximum kingdom manifestation, there are some things in motion concerning you and me and us right now. Some of the prayers you've been praying and wondering why they haven't really been answered, you may have just reasoned yourself out of it. But I believe that God is bringing to you again another opportunity. But don't reason past three opportunities, okay? You want to get it the first time, really, because some things are in motion right now. Come on, say, things are in motion right now. That's faith in operation. At the moment you believe it, things are happening. In the book of Daniel, when Daniel was praying and he prayed for 21 days, and that's where we get our Daniel fast, 21-day fast. It says Daniel prayed for 21 days, but when the angel showed up, he said, "From the moment you prayed, God heard you and sent me, but I've been held up." There are some things that you have prayed that God has heard that have been held up until now. Okay, so I guess there's not some things you've prayed that have been held up because it's like ain't nobody. I'm going to say, thank you, Jesus. I know what you've shown me. I know what you told me. I know what I prayed. And I thank you that you heard me. And I thank you that it's in this season that it's going to be manifested in my life for my good and for the good of many others. I just thank you for it right now. I thank you for that which has been delayed is now on arrival. I thank you, God. Even when I didn't understand it, didn't appreciate it, oh God, you continue to allow it to be released even way. Come on. Anyway, come on, look at somebody and say, it's on the way. It's on the way. While Peter is reasoning to the point and he's still sitting there thinking it's time for waiting for his meal, all of a sudden the angel says, forget it. They're at the door. Get up and go. They're at the door. That next for you is at the door. I'm getting it for myself. That next for me is at the door. That next for us, Pastor Maurice, is at the door. It's at the door. It's at the door. It's at the door. It's knocking right now while you're still reasoning, while you're still trying to pray it through. It's at the door.
Hallelujah.
Forget about trying to understand it. Just accept it and say, thank you, Jesus. Hey, glory to God. Glory to God. Peter about to mess up. Yet again, God is fulfilling a word that he gave. A man of God, Cornelius, devout man. And God says to him, I've watched your life. You've proven yourself faithful. Now through you, I'm going to bring salvation to the Gentiles. I got a guy that's on his way. Send two guys to get him. When he shows up, just listen to what he has to say. It's okay to reason, but not to the point of resisting the will of God. Now, I want to say this to you as well. There will be times when God opens that door and you're still trying to figure it out. Go anyway. Move anyway. You're not going to always understand it. It may take some time, even in the moment. But you don't want to miss the moment. Verse 17, it says this. While Peter was greatly perplexed in his mind to what the vision which he had seen might be, behold, the men who had been sent by Cornelius, having asked directions for Simon's house, appeared at the gate. And calling out, they were asking whether Simon, who was called Peter, was staying there. And while Peter was reflecting on the vision. That's a nice way to put it. At this point, he's like resisting. But we'll say reflecting. He's reasoning. Holy Spirit said to him, behold, three men are looking for you. But arise and go downstairs and accompany them. Without misgivings, for I sent them myself. Mm-hmm. And Peter went down to the men and said, behold, I am the one you are looking for. What is the reason for which you have come? And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, a righteous and God-fearing man, well spoken of by the entire nation of the Jews, was divinely directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and hear a message from you. And he invited them in and gave them lodging. Mm-hmm. On the next day, he arose and he went with them. And some of the brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And on the following day, he entered Caesarea. Now I want you to envision this. Now Cornelius was waiting for him. Say expectation.
Expectation.
Cornelius was waiting for them. And he had called together his relatives and close friends. I love that. It wasn't just about his household. He got everybody in the room. And when it came about that Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter raised him up, saying, stand up, I too am just a man. And as he talked with him, he entered and found many people assembled. And he said to them, you yourselves know how lawful it is for a man who is a Jew to associate with a foreigner or visit him, and yet God has shown me that I should not call any man unholy or unclean. That is why I came without even raising any objection when I was sent for. And so I ask, for what reason you have sent for me. See, he still doesn't know, but he's obedient in his being there. Cornelius shares with him, 4 days ago to this hour, I was praying in my house during the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in shining garments and said, Cornelius, your house has been heard, and your alms have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa and invite Simon, who is also called Peter, to come to you. He is staying at the house of Simon the tanner by the sea. And so I sent to you immediately, and you have been kind enough to come. Now then, we are all here before God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. That's an amazing visual. An amazing visual. It's okay to reason, but not to the point of resisting the will of God. Because going back to the woman, the widow woman, and Elijah the prophet, when God is moving and God is speaking, it's not just about us. Very often, it's about others. Can I give you just a couple more points here? Thank you. If we are going to walk in maximum kingdom manifestation, you're going to have to shift. For many, you are thinking too small. You're believing too low. You must raise your expectation beyond your expectation. You must raise your expectation beyond your expectation. When you think small and you think low, then even as a believer, what you and I will receive and what we will walk in will be minimal compared to what God wants to do. That verse in Ephesians 3, verse 20, He is able to do exceeding above that which we could ask or think, according to the power that works within us. According to the power that works within us. According to the power, the very same power that raised Christ from the dead. Small thinking is going to bring about small results. It's time for you, time for all of us to raise the bar to the next level, whatever that is. Years ago, I was watching this movie called Inception. It's about dreams. It's about being able to go into dreams and being able to do things and manipulate things. But there's one scene in the dream where one guy has a revelation of the potential of what you can do in the dream world that another guy doesn't have. And so they're fighting an enemy, and they're in a warehouse, and one of the guys has like a gun, like a rifle, and he keeps jumping out like this, and he shoots off a few shots, and he goes back in because he's shooting at the enemy that's shooting at them. Then the other guy walks up with a much bigger gun, shoots one time, and takes out the enemy. He looks to the guy with him and says, you must dream a little bigger. Matter of fact, he said, it's okay to dream a little bigger. What he's saying is, there's no limits here to what we can do, what we can accomplish. When Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do because I go unto my Father, he's saying, there are no limits in my kingdom. Thinking too small, believing too small, will bring about small results. Raise your expectation. If you're going to walk in maximum kingdom manifestation, You must raise your expectation. And you must raise your expectation beyond, above, past your experiences. Acts chapter 3. Let's go over there real quick, and I'm about to wrap this up. So another familiar passage of Scripture, but it has to do, it's a very clear example of needing to raise your expectation above your expectations and your past experiences, that often we live out our expectations based on experiences. When we need to live out our expectation out of the Word of God. You see, the more time you spend in the Word of God and you see how great God is, how big He is, and the things that He can do, and then you think, I know what He's done, but I don't know what He can do. I mean, this is the guy that's parting the sea. This is the guy that's feeding the manna. This is the guy that's bringing water out of a rock. This is the God that's bringing water out of a rock. This is the God that's leading them through the wilderness, and their clothes don't wear out. Anybody got some garments from 40 years ago that you can still wear today, and they're not moth-eaten, and I mean, they look just as pristine as the day you bought them? But this is how God moves supernaturally and sovereignly. In the Scriptures, where you see there is an expectation, going back to the woman with the issue of blood, blind Bartimaeus, other examples that we have, every opportunity there is an interaction with, and maybe even what I would call a collision with, the reality of the kingdom of God. Because blind Bartimaeus is thinking the only way that I'm going to be healed is through this same way. And Jesus is saying, no, there's another way. It's in my kingdom. And so right here, we see that example. Acts chapter 3, I'm talking about your expectation must exceed your past experiences. Now, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer. And a certain man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along, whom they used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order that he might beg alms of those who were entering the temple. So what's his experience? He's lame. They pick him up, they set him down, and every day he begs. That's his experience. And his expectation is, somebody's going to give me something if I stay here long enough. If I just keep showing up every day, somebody's going to give me something. And so he's there, and he's doing what he do. He's crying out, alms. He's crying out for alms. Verse 3 says, and when he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking to receive alms. And Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze upon him and said, look at us. Look at us. Now why would he say, look at us? I believe he said, look at us, because he wasn't looking at them. He knew they were there, but he wasn't looking at them. And he says, look at us. Let's make a connection here. Because what you're about to experience is going to be beyond anything you ever expected to receive. Look on us. And he began to give them his attention. See, he didn't need alms, just alms, 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 alms. And they said, hey, 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 look at us. Look right here, right here, right here. Look at us. We want you to give attention to us. Focus your direction right here. Expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have. What I do have, I give to you. I just need us to pause for just a moment. You are the answer. You are the answer. It's our declaration. We might even just put that on the screen and say, we're the answer.
Yes.
We're the answer. I remember Apostle Joel Brooks said, you need to get in touch with God, come talk to me. Just saying, if you feel like you can't make that connection, I got that connection. What he's saying right here is, we got a connection here to solve your problem. But we're going to need you to look at us. Engage us. Peter said, I don't have what you're asking for. But what I do have, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Walk. And seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were strengthened. You see, understand this, and I'm wrapping this up for now. There are moments when you got to seize the moment. He says, listen, focus your attention here. And then he says, now, we don't have any money, but what we do have, we give to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Get up and walk. And then he grabs his hand. Jamal, put that down. Put that down. Sit down. He, put your hand. Now, get up!
Yes.
I'm trying to give you a visual of how powerful this is.
Yes.
Thank you, son. I'm sorry. I kind of said, put that down, but I don't know what you were doing, but... Well, I needed that visual.
Yes.
Says he grabbed him by his hand, pulled him up. Think about the instantaneous healing.
Come on.
And from the time he said it to grab his hand and pulled him up, by the time he got all the way up, he was healed.
Yes.
Okay, that two of y'all clapped. That's good.
That's
I'm talking about expectation, y'all. I'm talking. See, we talk about miracles, signs, and wonders, but then we act like, it ain't no big deal. But listen, when we can get excited over these things and say, God, can you do it again?
Yes.
Matter of fact, I don't want you to do that again. I want you to do whatever you want to do, because I know you can come 1,000 different ways in a second. I need you to grab a hold of that, because many of us go for months or maybe even years believing God for healing, believing God for miracles and signs and wonders. And it says right here that all in the moment that he said to him, in the name of Jesus, walk, and then reached out to help him get up because he was lame from birth, it wasn't like he got up and he's, trying to get himself together. It says he got up.
Yes.
Just pulled him right. I need about 7 of y'all to just get excited with me right now, because I'm looking for those days when I can just reach out to someone and just grab their hand.
Woo!
Just grab their hand.
Yes.
And the power of God instantaneously does what needs to be done. That's what we're talking about here. But, you know, if we're lackadaisical about it, oh, well, you know, that's a really nice story. You know, God bless the man, he got healed. But we don't ever rise to the occasion to recognize that the same power that he spoke to that man out of is the same power that resides in us right now. We should be seeing miracles, signs, and wonders. When you walk into the room, you're a carrier of the kingdom of God. When you show up, you need to let folks know. I just need to let you know anything can happen.
Anything can happen.
Anything can happen.
Come on, apostle.
Anything can happen. We're talking about maximum kingdom manifestations, but we're still sitting around lackadaisical and not getting excited about the fact that what we read in the scriptures is just to give us a small indication of what's available to us. I need you to know that there are other things happening in the body of Christ and other parts of the world that would astound us, but we've gotten so comfortable in our Christianity here.
Come on, apostle.
Oftentimes, we'd rather buy it than believe for it. Because then I don't have to exercise my faith. Hey. I'm almost done. Lastly, here's my last statement. See, you keep trying to make it add up. But what you don't realize is you're not in the realm of addition. But rather, you're in the realm of multiplication. We needed to add up. We needed to make sense. And God is saying, I'm not on that plane. I don't add. I multiply. In this hour, we are multiplying.
My God. My God.
We keep trying to live our lives playing checkers when the enemy is playing chess. He is strategically moving things around and shifting things around. And you're waiting for the one just next move from one block to the next. If it doesn't add up, maybe it's not because it's not supposed to add up, Chewy. This is multiplication. One will put 1,000 to flight. Two will put 2,000 to flight. No. This is the kingdom. One will put 1,000 to flight. Two will put 10,000 to flight. You get three together, you get four together, you get five together, you get six together, you get all. God said, listen, Gideon, I don't need the 32,000. Nice number. Nice number. But we need to get this down to a number that shows my power. Tell those that are fearful to go home. Those that are fearful and afraid, go home. You know the story, 22,000. Left. Can you imagine how daunting that would be as the leader? You think, I got the numbers I need. Tithes are looking good. Offerings are up. And 22,000 leave. 10,000 are left. 10,000 are left. He says, well, at least we're in the thousands. We should be okay. And God says, no, son, listen. See, even with that number, just the risk that you'll think you did it. So I'm going to give another process of elimination to get this in the space where I need it to be. So what I want you to do is take everybody down to the brook and tell them to take a drink of water. Just have them take a drink. Those who get down on all fours and lap up the water like a dog, you put them on one side. The ones that drop to one knee and scoop up the water with their hand and drink it, you put them on the other side. 9,700 got on all fours. 300 got on one knee. Now, can you imagine that Gideon's thinking, oh my God. I hope it's the guys that were on the one knee that he can really tell me they need to go. No, he says, the 9,700, send them home. Because what I'm about to do is going to bring about maximum glory. What I'm about to do, when it's all said and done, you won't be able to take credit. They won't be able to take credit. No one will be able to take credit. I am setting the odds so high that the only way it can happen is by my hand. Now, I'm just telling you right now, that's a moment that we're in, and that's a good moment to be in. Because you see, we were the same people. I'm talking about those of us here. You may be watching as well. We're the same people that were singing a little earlier prophetically, get the glory. Oh, it's wonderful how we can sing some things until the reality of it hits in. Get the glory, Lord. I saw hands go up. Get the glory, Lord. Yeah. He says, okay, I'm going to do that. But in order for me to do that, this is what it's going to take. I'm talking about keys to maximum kingdom manifestation. I'm done for now. I hope that this has spoken to you. It spoke to me when God gave it to me. Would you thank the Lord for the word right now?